Let's just pray. Let's ask God to just come and anoint this service. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful again, Father. We gather together again with believers, like-minded with the same faith, Lord. It's the faith of your own Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And so we ask that you would just have your way again, Father. We gather together knowing that we have no ability of our own, no strength. We're not even faith to believe except you give it to us. We know it's a gift from you. Father, won't you take and anoint that gift to hear and to pull on the word and to receive what you have for this morning, Lord. And the word comes this morning in a way of a warning, but not to unbelievers, but for us, the believers, to make sure we approach you in the right way, in the right light, Father. So we ask you to shed that light on this word, Lord. Help the ones who aren't here this morning. I pray for Brother Will. He's just on my heart this morning, Lord, that you would bless him, Father, wherever he is, Lord. And Father, just the rest who aren't here, Lord, just watch over him, our pastor and his wife, Lord. And Father, Father, have your way this morning. Have your way. Speak to us, Lord. Let this be a wonderful time in your presence. I ask this, Lord. I expect you to perform this because it is according to your word. So in your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 I'm going to read. We'll read one scripture and then be seated. I have a lot of scriptures to read. But we'll just read Jeremiah 10 and verse 2 to get started. Jeremiah 10 and verse 2. I hope everyone's doing wonderful. Isn't it beautiful out there? I was driving to work. It was all gray and rainy. I said, man, this is beautiful. I just like it. So it's good to be a Christian. That's all. You know, no matter what the level, weather is or anything, it's just you can find beauty in all of it if Christ is first. So Jeremiah 10 and verse 2, it says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Let me read that again without chopping it up. He says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. You can be seated this morning. So right away he says, don't be like the heathen. Don't learn the way, because the heathen, they see the signs of the heaven. They see the signs of the time. They see everything going on around them, and they are dismayed. They're dismayed. Oh, my goodness, they're terrified. You want to see somebody dismayed? You can go on YouTube and look at some of the videos people put themselves. They're crying and weeping and just going crazy because of what happened to the election. They're dismayed at what happened to that election. Now, I don't care who had been elected, if it had been Kamala or Trump, whatever, we would have not been dismayed at it. We might have been disappointed. We might have said, oh, my goodness, America's going down the toilet. Here we go. But you know what? It would not dismay us, because that's the way the heathen acts. When we look around and see the way things are around us, it doesn't dismay us. The heathens are dismayed. Oh, my goodness, look, it's the end of the world. We have global warming. We have all this stuff going on, and we're going to destroy ourselves. Yeah, we are going to destroy ourselves. And you know what? You know what our attitude is towards that? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because you know what? The sooner we can get out of here, the better it's going to be. Because, you know, how long do we want to stay here? We don't have a death wish. We're not trying to destroy the world or anything like that. And we know it's going to be a terrible time. Billions of people are going to be killed in a very short amount of time. That's horrible. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, because it's got to happen. We can postpone it and put it off, but it's got to happen. So you know what? Let's just go. Let's get it done. Amen? So that's what I'm talking about. Don't be dismayed when you see these things. Oh, but the economy's going to go bad, and we're going to get nuked, and all those horrible things. Yeah. We know it's coming. So don't be dismayed, because it's already been told us. Jesus says this in Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Look what's going on around us. Wars and rumors of war. China and Taiwan could blow up. North Korea could blow up. There's all kinds. There's things that are going on in the Middle East and Ukraine. Everyone's talking World War III. What happens if we get nuked? Everyone is out there talking about this stuff. Get online. Go on your news feed or whatever. And it's just all over the place. And now I said, oh, no, peace and safety, Trump's in. Foolishness. We might have the best time ever
for a short amount of time, and then sudden destruction. It's coming, friends. Are you dismayed? Are you tore up? You don't have to be. You have nothing to fear. And you should hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. It's got to happen, friends. And he said, don't be troubled about it. Do not be dismayed. He goes on later on in Matthew 24, he says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But here's the key to this whole thing. He says, behold, I have told you before. Oh, my. We know it's coming. So why does he tell us before? So when these things happen, we can say, this is just simply fulfilling Scripture, what he said it was supposed to have. And then we know what age we're living. We know the season. We know what's supposed to be happening. We know the word that has to be fulfilled in this day. And we can look at the word for this day and see it happening in you. And you say, I am right where I'm supposed to be. The word for this day is happening. I am Christ in this age, and I am just getting ready for the rapture, and it's just going to be any time now, because this is why he told us before, so when it happens, we could recognize the word for our day happening. It takes the fear away. It takes the trouble. It takes, well, we're going to have a squeeze. We're going to have a hard time doing this. Yes, we are. And what did he say? Be not troubled. I told you it's coming. So all you do is make sure Christ is the center of your life and live in Christ, and there's nothing to fear, because the heathen get dismayed about these things. Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him. Now he said, now the coming of the Lord, the gathering, are we gathering into him? I hope you are. I know I am. Are you? Are you gathering into Christ, or are you just gathering into a church? Are you gathering into Christ, or just into the, quote, message? What are you gathering into? You're gathering to some group. You're either gathering to the body of Christ, or you're gathering to the body of Satan's bride. You don't have, that's your choices. He said, I beseech you now because of this, he said, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Now he's begging. He said, beseech, I'm begging. He said, please. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. He said, not shaken in mind. Don't be troubled, neither by spirit. Let's stop for a second there. How many times does Satan come against you? He says, either by spirit or by word. He said, how many times does Satan come against you and he troubles you in your spirit? He troubles you. He brings a thought, and he becomes in your mind. You start thinking about that, and the spirit comes with it, and all of a sudden you're all tore up about something. Why? Oh, my goodness, what about my kids? Oh, my goodness, what about the church? Oh, my goodness, what about this? What about that? And how am I going to feed my kids? What is all going to happen? Oh, my goodness, and all of a sudden we're all tore up. Our mind is tore up, and we're just like, there's no peace, and we're worried about this. We jump on the phone. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? Get off the phone, put it down, and go to the one who can actually help you. Now, if you're calling someone for support or something, that's fine. But if you're calling just to whine and cry about something because you don't like what's going on, shut up, put the phone down, and go ahead and get to prayer where someone can actually help you with what's going on. Be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. As at the day of the Lord, Christ is at hand. Friend, he's saying, don't even, if it even comes through the word, because Satan will bring this word, he'll bring these quotes, he'll bring this scripture, and try to trouble you in your mind because this bad thing has happened, or we're going to have problems, or who knows how it's all going to end up. You're being dismayed like the heathen are dismayed. He said, well, what am I supposed to do? I got kids. Be not dismayed. Either God's in control or he's not. And all he wants us to do is trust him that he's going to take care of it. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, this is actually what I'm getting to. So, by the way, I'm calling this, I don't even remember what I was going to call it. Let me find my quote notes here. Take what he hath. So that doesn't even sound at all like what we got to yet, but I'm just putting a foundation for what's coming in a minute. So he says, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Friends, we are living in that. That man of perdition has been revealed. We see that he's sitting within the very framework of the true church. He's coming as message preachers. He's coming as message believers. He's coming as all these brothers and sisters that we go to church with. I hope not in this building, but around the message. That is the son of perdition being revealed. The man of sin, that son of perdition, that's right. Because what did he say? Judas was the son of perdition, and he was right there with Jesus all the way to the very end. And that's the same thing in our day. You can look back, well, the Pope, or you can say, well, the Baptist, or you say these denominations. No, brother and sister, that's already been exposed. But the son of perdition that's being revealed now must be within the framework of the true church, because they are twins. They look so much alike. Judas and Jesus were so much alike. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they didn't all look at Judas. No, they didn't. They looked at themselves. I wonder if I'm that one. And when these things are preached, how many of us do not look at yourself and say, God, I hope I'm not that Judas? I don't want to be that Judas. Am I that one? Am I the one who thinks they're right, who thinks they're born again, who thinks they're ready to go in the rapture, and they are absolutely being deceived, and there's going to be multitudes of message believers fulfill that scripture that they think they're okay, and they're going to find out that they were Judas all along. That's a horrible thing to think about, but that's what the scripture says. That man of perdition, that man of sin, that son of perdition, it's going to be with us to the very end, and they think they're okay. God, I pray, man, I don't believe it at all. But I say, God, check up. Brother Bram said, you need to be checking up. I say, God, if that's me, if it is you, what are you going to do about it? But it's not. Because you can see Christ in you, but it still brings, it brings that sincerity or whatever it is. Like, look at me, God. Find out what's wrong. Is there anything that I got wrong? Let me know now. Show it to me now. What am I clinging to? What is an idol? What is a thought? What is a word? Whatever it is that I'm doing wrong. Let me know now. Let me get everything right now. It's not worth to hold on to anything. It's not worth to hold on to anything in the world. It's not worth to hold on to my pride, my ego, my reputation. Let it all be just destroyed, but just let me know I'm right with Christ. This man opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he at God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's a message believer. Showing himself that he is God. And then Paul says this is my point. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. We know these things. And so when we see this, look at the falling away. Look at all the people who you have known over the years who were a message believer and then left. Message believer. They came to the message. Maybe they grew up in the message, and then they walked away, and they're gone. And you have seen dozens or hundreds of these people, depending on how long you've been around here. And some of very, very, some people you're just like, well, yeah, it's not a big surprise. Other people just shocked you. It's like, wait a minute. He was a pastor. He had a big church. He had such a reputation. How did he go away? Has to be. And here's something to be aware of, friends. We're going to see a lot more people go through that as we get near the end. Because if that pressure comes on, that pressure squeezes the darkness out. You're going to have people that right now you would say, that person is a born-again believer, I believe with all my heart. And you're going to see them turn and walk away from this message. And you're going to see lots of it. Because Brother Bram said, when it comes down to the very end, there's going to be so very few who really are born again. They told us, Jesus told us, our prophet told us, Paul told us. He said, these things are going to happen. You're going to see your family members turn and walk away. We've all seen it already. I'm just saying it's not going to stop. We're going to see a lot more of it. How many more pastors are going to walk away and drag their church with them? Because you know what? When a pastor leaves, he almost always takes a bunch of his church with him. So let me just jump on that a little bit. You know why God does that? Why does God allow some pastors a message? I'm talking message. He allows some message pastors to stay in that church and just keeps them all there. False doctrines being preached, all kinds of false, and you can look and say, well, that's wrong. Why do they sit there? You know why God allows that to stay there? Because there's no bride in there. He gets the bride out, or he gets that pastor out. That's why Jerry Bell had to leave here, because he was not a born-again son of God. He was not ready. And so there was bride at the church in Dixon, and God said, I got to get this man out of here. I got to bring in a minister who is born again, because that's the only way we get to go in the rapture if you're sitting under a born-again ministry. You can't get that anyway, because that minister who doesn't know Christ can't get you to Christ. How do you introduce me to someone that you don't know yourself? And yet those people leave when that pastor leaves. They leave with him because he is their God. They love what he preaches. They're more in love with him than they are with Jesus Christ. And they don't even know Jesus Christ, so they go away with him. And there are people left sitting there. And those people left sitting there all tore up. They're destroyed. Oh, my goodness, our church just fell apart. It's the greatest blessing God could have gave them. Isn't that amazing? God cares about his bride. You might have gone through hell and high water to get where you're at now, but you're still where he wants you to be because he cares about his bride. And he's going to say, no one is going to pluck her from my hand. All the Father has given me will come, and I will destroy every pastor in the message if I have to get my bride ready. My, that's good. So why does he tell us these things? So we're not dismayed when this happens. Now, that's the foundation for where I'm going for this morning, okay? So I'm going to read out of Job 18, verse 5 and 6. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. So what you're seeing right here is we have a person who is walking in light. They have light. But he says the light of the wicked shall be put out. And so you're walking in the light and you get to the point where that light is put out. All right? So you can definitely walk in the light. You can have light. But if you do not continue to walk in that light, your light is going to go out. Obvious, right? We've seen this, the falling away. That's what it's about. Matthew 6, Jesus says this. And there's a certain part in here that's very, it's hard to understand just by reading. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. So what does that mean, your light is single? It means you're serving one master. Because you can't serve God and mammon. And when you try to do that, then your light is not single. Your eye is not single. He said, but if it is single, and it is Christ, then your whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil by trying to ride the fence, by trying to be, well, I'm a pretty good Christian, I'm not really born again, but you know, I'm trying to give a good life, and I'm not ready to surrender everything in the world, and so I'm kind of halfway between, he says, then your eye is evil. The whole body shall be full of darkness. Did you hear what he said? He didn't say you're going to be half light and half dark. He said you're going to be full of darkness. If therefore the light, this is a strange sentence. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So he said, you are walking in light, you think it's light, but it's actually great darkness. How can light be darkness? Because we're going to get to that. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Because what you are believing is mixed with darkness, and when you mix light with darkness, especially in this age, then you have nothing but darkness, because Christ has been completely put out of your religion. Back during the church ages, down through there, it was a day, it was part light, it was a cloudy day, there's light, there is dark. But in this day, brother and sister, you can't walk in that cloudy day anymore. You have no excuse to be cloudy because we have the pure light and it drives away all the darkness. I'm talking about from your soul. Not the junk in your mind. You know, well, I got darkness in my mind, Brother Phil. I still have this thought and I have that thought. Well, good, that means you still are alive. You still have thoughts. And Satan's still coming at you? Good, because that means he's still trying to destroy you. So don't even go there with that. Oh, my goodness, what about, who am I? You know, just get right with God, and you can know what you're doing. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. So, friends, either you are a born-again Christian or you hate God. That's brutal, but that's just what he said. All these people who are out there, who are message believers, brothers, why? Because the light, the darkness hates the light. That's all it is. If what is in your soul is not born again, then that part hates God. And you can love him in your mind all you want. But your soul, that old nature, hates God because you can't serve one or the other. You're going to either hate one and love the other or vice versa. Especially as we come to the head, as we come to the final, the maturing of it. That's what he said. Is that what he said? Matthew 25, verse 24. Then he which... Okay, this is about the talents. Just to save time, I'm not going to read the entire parable, but he gave, you know, some of you one talent and five talent, two, five talents, five talents. You know that, right? So let's talk about the one he gave the one talent to, which is the gifts that he gives it. He said, he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. There's the key. I was afraid. What if I tried to be a Christian, but I wasn't elect? What if I tried to serve you, but I just couldn't do it? What if I just could never overcome the world? You know what? I just maybe shouldn't even try. That's a coward. That's being afraid. I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast, that is thine. Let's go a little bit further. God gives you all gifts and talents. Are you using those? Are you afraid to use them? Because what if you get it wrong? Are you letting Christ express himself through the gifts that he gave you to use? Do you have something in your life that you know God's putting on your heart to do? Maybe he wants you to become a prayer warrior and you just don't have time for it. Maybe he wants you to sing or maybe, you know, preach or whatever it is that God calls you to do, and I'm just afraid to do that. Maybe he wants you to call someone and say, you know, hey, Brother Jimmy, I heard you're going through some hard time with your health, and I'm just letting you know I'm praying for you. I don't know if you are or not. I'm just putting that out there. But you're afraid, well, what if he doesn't want me to call him? Well, maybe God wanted you to be that encouraging person in the church. There's so many things that God wants us to do, and just in our daily life, but so many times we're just afraid. I'm speaking from my own experience right now. Because what if? Like it. What if, you know, all these what ifs. It's ridiculous. Someone's horn is going off. Okay. Oh. So he said, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. So here, this, I gave it right back to you. Did not bring forth any fruit. And what did the Lord say unto him? Well, okay, I understand you're afraid. Here, let me pat you on the head and tell you, no, try not to be afraid. He said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I was strawed. You were dismayed. You are afraid of what's going on. Well, what if I really sell out to serve God? And what if I lose my job? What if my kids hate me? What if my wife leaves me? What if my husband leaves? What if I do this and really just sell out and try to be just really, you know, come to Christ and surrender completely to him? And I lose everything. You're dismayed. You're afraid. You're troubled by the fear that Satan throws at you. And Jesus said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." He didn't say, "Oh, I understand how you're feeling. You've gone through some trauma. You've had some hard time. Your daddy did this to you. Your mama did this to you. Your wife said this. It hurt you and all this. And I understand that you just need a little quality time. You need a safe place. You know what you need? You need Calvary is what you need. Was Calvary a safe place? That's what you need. We want to all run to a safe place and protect my feelings. You need to go and die to those feelings at Calvary is what you need." He said, "Thou wantest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." It should have, that those gifts that God puts in your heart, in your life, is to bring forth fruit. He gives you a gift of faith to bring forth fruit. He gives you the love of God himself to bring forth fruit. That's what he wants. Don't just give him back what was his. "Well, I'll just love with my own human love, and then you can have your own godly love back." Yeah, you're evil, you're wicked and slothful servant. He said, "Therefore, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For everyone," and here's the key to the whole thing this morning, get this, okay? "Everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Another kind of difficult. Now, what do you mean? If he hath, and you take away what he hath, and he hath not. Wait, or if he hath, you give him more. It doesn't make sense. "From him that hath not, take away that which he hath." Well, if he hath not, how can you have something to take away? It becomes really simple when you just take the word of what he's talking about. He says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, that should be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So what we're looking at here is, what does he have that can be taken away that he hath not? His name is on the book of life. It's a place on the book of life, like Judas, where he can be taken off. And what he hath can be taken away, and he hath not. What is he hath not? He does not have his name on that place in the book of life where it can't be taken away. Not elect. Because him that hath, his name is elect. His name is on the book of life where it can't be taken away. And so what he hath, he can be added to it. And it can't be taken away. But if your name can be taken away, what he hath not, which is not his name on the wrong place or the different place in the book of life, it's going to be taken away, and he has not anything left. And what he does have, his name is going to be removed. Is that making sense, or am I stumbling all over myself? To me, it's very simple. I feel like I just stumbled all over myself. Let me just say that again. You have, your name is either in the, if it's on the book of life, you come to this earth. Some people, the name is not even on that book, but yours is. And your name is on the book of life in one of two categories. It's either where you are elect and it cannot be removed because you are elect from before the foundation of the world. Another group of people come and their name is on the book of life in a place that can be removed. That's where Judas was. Judas was the son of perdition, and yet our prophet tells us that his name was on the book of life. That's the kind of love God has for people. He said, "I know you're the son of perdition, but I'm still going to give you a chance." But what happens is when you do something like this slothful servant, if your name was where it can be taken away, your name is going to be removed from the book of life, and you are going to go to hell. What you have is going to be taken away, and that light, the elect going on into eternal life. All right? So that's what Jesus is saying here. He said, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's it. You go into the tribulation period. Let me read out of Mark, then we're going to say something else here. Mark 4:24, it's the same thing he's saying. He said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." So he says, take heed and to what you hear. And unto you that hear shall more be given. If you're not elect, you're not going in the rapture. But if you can continue to walk in the light that you can see, you're still saved. And you're going into the tribulation if you're still alive at the time. You go through the tribulation, but you will give your life. You'll give the opportunity to give your life for what you believe in the tribulation, and you come up on the judgment day, and you'll be given life. But if you do not continue to walk, and by the way, your name will remain on the book of life. But if you do not continue to walk in the light that is available for you to see. Because what we have, I love the analogy Brother Branham gave. He said, God's like, it's like coins. He has silver dollars, and they're the elect. And everyone else, the nickels and dimes and pennies and quarters are not elect. But they have a certain amount of light that they can still shine. And God wants to use that. And if you are a quarter, and God wants you to give a quarter's worth of light, if you will do that, you're going to be saved. I hope that nobody in here is fulfilling that scripture. I hope every one of us is elect. That's what I got. I'm believing. I don't have a revelation of that. That's just my desire. That's what I'm hoping for. But if it's not, brother and sister, just keep walking in the light. And here's the thing about it. If you do that, oh, this is brutal. You're being deceived. You think you're right, but you're not. But just keep going, because at least you give yourself a chance to keep your name on the book of life. This is not even in my notes, friend. This, I don't know where I'm going to do with this. But just keep going. Don't walk away. Don't fall away. Don't say, well, I'll forget it. I'm out of here. And especially when the pressure comes, there's a squeeze coming. What does that look like? Nobody knows. But we're in part of it right now, spiritually being squeezed to death. But that's a good thing. But just keep staying with the word. Keep believing. Keep walking in what God has showed you, and you will be saved. Because if you don't, your name's removed, and what you have will be taken away, and you will have nothing. It's a falling away, friends. Let me read some quotes. I'm getting towards the end. What is iniquity? Ask somebody. It's something that you know you ought to do and you don't do it. They know the word. They hear it. You're listening to this tape. You're listening to this message. Ain't nobody in here has an excuse. You've heard the word. You've gone to this church for years. You've sat there and you've heard the ministry preach the truth. You got the prophet preaching the truth. You got countless message preachers out there, many of them preaching the truth. You're hearing it. You see the Lord God say so. You see him confirm it, make it true. Friends, the things that have been preached across the pulpit have been confirmed that it's true. Look at the difference in your life. If it has changed your life, there's your confirmation if it's making you more Christ-like. If it doesn't, you can't see it in your life, look at somebody else around here. Look how their lives have been changed. You say, well, I don't see any difference. Woe unto you, you don't have eyes to see. You don't have ears to hear. What a horrible place to be. And you know this just as plain as the sun is shining outside, but you that hold to your denomination, hold on to those false things, you worker of iniquity. He said, well, I'm not in a denomination. Friends, you can sit in this pew right here from now until doomsday and be in your own little denomination. Because you hold on to your idea. You hold on to your idols. And just be blunt. Can I be blunt? That idol you're holding on to is your own self. That's the idol that most of us worship at. That's the idol we have to destroy. That's the idol that gets us in trouble. That's the idol that brings our feelings and we protect our feelings. That's the idol that you need to die to every day. Paul said, I die daily. What was it? His own self he was dying to. I don't have to die to the Baptist. I don't have to die to some false doctrine. I don't have to die to whatever else is out there. I have to die to myself, because that's the hindrance that keeps me from having the relationship with Christ that both of us desire. Oh, yes, I had great campaigns. I done this, I done that. Said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. False anointed ones. He said, I'm not a preacher. That doesn't mean you're not a false anointed one. We all get anointed to some extent. How many message believers love to go to church just to get the anointing? They live from service to service just to get that feeling so I can dance, so I can shout, I can feel this. They have no idea who Christ is. Christ doesn't know them. Christ doesn't know them. He said, well, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I don't doubt that a bit. I spoke in tongues. I sang in the Spirit. I don't doubt that a bit. No question to that. Oh, brother and sister, what kind of a condition? This is a trembling time. Where are we at? The Word is coming to life now. He said, look how deceptive it is. You can speak in tongues, sing in the Spirit, be anointed to preach, you lay your hands on the sick and they recover. You can raise the dead and still Christ don't know you. Oh, I know him, but does he know you? Brother Branham's quoting from Matthew. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied? Brother Branham's speaking. He says, prophets, anointed ones. You say prophet around most message believers and their eyes bug out and they say, oh, we got a prophet, prophet, because they think, hey, if you're a prophet, then I'm going to follow you. The Bible is full of false prophets. Today is full of false prophets. I don't know if I mentioned this before. I'm going to say it right now again. If I didn't, there's a church in Puerto Rico. They built the tent for the tent vision. It's huge. Go online and look it up. And they have some Dr. Jose something or other. He's the leader, and he quotes Brother Branham all the time. But they have it. It's all ready to go. And he's, you know, this. That, you know, the vision, there is a little wooden, little building, little room they have over on the side, this wooden room. I guess that's where you're going to go in there and have all this fulfilled. People flock to it by the thousands. They have branch churches all over Central and South America. You can go to South Africa, and there's a man there, and he is Elohim. He walks into the room and everyone falls down and bows before him. Those people who are being deceived by this filth, it's horrible. Performing miracles, doing all kinds of signs and wonders, all in vain. In vain they worship me. Prophets, anointed ones, that's right. Wasn't we a prophet? Wasn't we anointed? An anointed one? Have not I prophesied in thy name? In thy name haven't I cast out devils? How can you do that and refuse to be baptized in Jesus' name? See how deceiving? Right up to that very point, then drop back. They go right up to the Word. They're walking in light. They're following Moses out of Egypt. They're walking in the light. But at the last minute, they drop back. And that light becomes darkness, and the light in them is a great darkness. It's gross darkness on them because they still are claiming to believe it. They still claiming they're anointed, and they are. They still claim to be message believers. And in their mind, it can be light, but in their heart, it's darkness. He said, in my name cast out devils, in my name done many good works. Then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said, notice, you come up to the borderline and quit. This is where Hebrews 6 comes in. And so I was just in the brotherhood camp this weekend, and this one brother was talking about it, and it was so good to bring clarity to him to be able to take that fear away. Because you look at Hebrews 6, and as soon as you make a mistake, you're out. As soon as you make them, you were walking in light, and then you fall away. You know Hebrews 6, what I'm talking about. I hope you do. If you don't, shame on you. You don't read your Bible enough. I should have said that. I'm sorry. Friends, if you don't know these things, what are you spending your life for? Let me keep going. You read that. If you taste of the good things of God and fall away, there's no more sacrifice for your sin, whatever that word is. I don't think. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Of course you do. He said, you go to the borderline and quit. What's he talking about? It's not when you go and you make a mistake and all of a sudden you backslide or whatever. It's when you go all the way and you intentionally, knowing it's true, and you say, I'm not going to believe that anymore. I'm going to turn and walk away and just get to that borderline. Instead of going all the way in and get born again, you just get there and you just say, you know, this is not true. And you turn and you say something or you blaspheme it or whatever it is. And you walk away and say, Brother Branham is a false prophet. I don't believe this anymore. I'm just going to take the Bible or whatever you do to turn away after you know that it was true. He said, thorns and let me go ahead and read this. He said, come to the borderline and quit. Look at here in Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned. Borderline. You who have tasted the heavenly gift, tasted. Other words, you've seen it. You can't taste it with your mouth, but you've seen it. You knew it was the truth. It tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Spirit as it fell upon you. Tasted the good word of God. Tasted, you seen it was right. The Holy Ghost falling upon you. The Holy Ghost falling upon you. You know it was right. You know the word was being confirmed. But for whatever reason, that person says, but I don't want this. I don't want it the way it's coming. I'm going to believe it a different way. I'm going to follow my own idea. I'm going to follow this minister. I'm going to have my own church. And you walk away from the vindicated word. He said, well, I've seen it vindicated through Brother Branham. That's what I'm believing. You can see it vindicated through the prophet all day long. But if you don't see it vindicated today, you're still walking in darkness. He said, the Holy Ghost falling upon you, the weed in the field, and then turn away, denying the very Christ that sanctified you, called you, put that anointing on you. He said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin for that. It's unpardonable. It's impossible for them to ever come to the knowledge of the truth. It's impossible for those of you who are made partakers of the Holy Spirit and to walk away. Not talking about walking away from the message, friends. A lot of them do that. But people do this sitting right there, and they walk away, and they cross the line sitting in that message church. That man of sin being exposed, the son of perdition, calling themselves a believer. That's that Laodicean lukewarm church that thinks they're increased with goods, have need of nothing. It makes God sick. Brother Branham said it. He said, and in fact, it says in Revelation, Jesus said, oh, that you are hot or be cold. If you're not going to believe this, say, this sounds horrible, but it's true. Someone who, like Tim Humes, turns and walk away from the message and says, I don't believe that anymore, he has better standing with God than that person who sits there in that message pew and doesn't go all the way. Lukewarm. Isn't that brutal? Deceived. They're all being deceived. But you sit there as a lukewarm message believer and you don't go and walk in all the light. You say, well, what if I'm just a quarter? You walk in all the light that God gives you to walk in and you're going to be just fine. But when you see something, you say, well, I don't like the way Brother Jerry preaches that. I'm going to reject it. I don't like the way Brother Phil preaches that. I'm not going to agree with that. Well, I'm going to take my own idea over what Brother Phil is preaching because I just believe it this way. You answer for it. That's all I got to say. You answer for it. That's why Brother Branham, where is that quote I just read? This is a trembling time. It's so deceptive that everybody in the earth is going to be deceived except for the elect. And if you see you are elect in this day, oh my, what a blessing. What a there's no way to describe how awesome that is. He said, now good morning means peace. Darkness is gathering. What is it gathering for? To show the light. Isaiah 60:1, rise and shine, for the light has come. That's the reason I can say shalom, the light has come to you. God's peace to the elected woman, to the elected lady, those who God before the foundation of the world called out and ordained to that. You don't get to make yourself elect, friends. You don't get to choose to be elect. You recognize that you were elect. The rest of them will never see it. They'll never know nothing about it. The Bible says so. Jesus said, no man will come to me except my Father draws him first, And all the Father hath given me will come. You see that it says, no man will come to me except my Father draws him first. There stood Jesus. I'm sorry. Boy. There stood Judas. Now listen to this. We're almost done. Light shining up here, but back in his heart was dark seed. That's why he could go out and Judas, he could cast out devils, he could preach the gospel. His ministry was no way inferior to the rest of the disciples' ministries because he was operating from up here in his mind where the light was. He had accepted it in his mind. He had accepted it in his mind. He was walking in that light. His name was on the book of life. But back in his heart was dark seed. And what's in your heart is ultimately what's going to happen. Ultimately, the nature in your heart is what's going to manifest itself. I think I mentioned this Thursday. Let me say it again. It's like you take a pig and you say, Mr. Pig, you can go over into the alfalfa field or you can go into the slop, into the muck over here. And that pig says, you know what? I like alfalfa. And he starts walking over there. Yeah, I kind of like this. And there he goes. His nature is going to, he's going to end up back in the hog wallow because that's his nature. And that sheep comes on. I like Mr. Pig. I think I'll fellowship with Mr. Pig for a while. He walks over here to the hog wallow and he takes about one little sniff and say, this ain't for me. And he heads back over there because his nature is the alfalfa. It's the same thing with you and I, friends. That nature that's in you is going to manifest itself. That seed within you is going to bring forth whatever is in it. And brother and sister, when you see that something inside you cannot be satisfied, some of us have been wallowing in the hog wallow. We've been there. We try to find some kind of satisfaction, but it would not take. And we had to get out of there, and we found there's something else inside of me. There's a different nature, and it was just, it had to come to life, and someone pulled us until the light struck that seed and it brought forth and it showed that you were always a child of God. And here's the reality, that same light striking that dark seed brings out that you always were a child of perdition. Both seeds come to life, they come to maturity under the same rain. Both seeds come to maturity with the same light striking them, and it brings and proves who you really are. Are you a lukewarm Judas, or are you a child of God? Here was a little old woman, all blacked out, up here in front, but down here was a predestinated seed. And when the light come, it scattered the darkness. Oh, her mind was telling her, you're a prostitute. You committed adultery with how many men? You are going to hell. And yet something inside of her, when that word came and the word was preached to her and Jesus preached to her and it drove back the darkness up here. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It drove back the darkness in her mind, and that light just hit that seed inside, and it scattered the darkness out of there, and she came to life. You all, if you have been born again, you can see that's exactly what happened in you because your mind tells you all this stuff. But what happens? You come to church, or you listen to a preaching, or you get in your prayer closet, and the word drives back that darkness out of your mind, and it hits down there, and something inside registers, but I am still a believer. No matter what I'm doing, what my mind is telling me, when it gets past that, and that's the battle. The battle's up here to keep that darkness there, keep that worry, keep that fear. Be dismayed at what's going on around you. Oh, woe is us. Oh, it's going to be so hard. Oh, it's going to be so difficult. Oh, I'm having such a hard time. Let that word drive that back, and the word will come there and anoint that faith, and you're going to walk out and say, but I'm a child of God. I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear. I'm not dismayed at what's going on. If I lose my job, I lose my health. If I lose my church, if everyone in the world hates me, there's still something anchored inside, which is the very expression of Christ. And he cannot take the rapture without taking that with me, with him. And if that goes, I get to go with him because that's part of who I am. That That's why you go to church, friends, to get that light, to scatter that darkness out of your mind that Satan has been hammering, and getting your feelings about, and getting your feelings, and you feel so beat down so many times when you come to church. Oh, my goodness, I don't even feel like singing. I don't even feel like going to church. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to sit there and fall asleep anyways. And then you come to church and watch what God does. He takes the word. He just, it's like a nuclear bomb. And they go, poof. And what do you, next thing you know, you're shouting, you're singing, you're praising God, you're saying amen, and you walk out of here on air. You're drugging here like your lips dragging the ground. You come out of here and say, praise God. He loves me. He loves me. He has promised me, and I believe his promise. Why? Because something down in here believes it. He said it scattered the darkness, it showed forth. We know Messiah is coming. When he does, he will show these things. Jesus said, I am he. That light struck the seed and she believed. But if that seed isn't in there, there's nothing to strike. Jesus doubted it, yet supposed to be walking in the light. He was walking in the light as far as he knew up to that point. And everyone saw, yeah, Judas, brother Judas, brother Judas. What a ministry. Yet supposed to be walking in the light. Now listen to this. See, the light up here doesn't matter. It's the light down here that counts. That's why so many people have come to the message, and you and I have seen it, like I said, by the hundreds. And they're walking in the light because they accept it up here in the mind. Jesus said, you sow the seed and some of it falls onto the path. Some of it falls into the rocky ground. What is it? That's here in the mind. That's here. And they believe it for a while until something causes them to walk away or not to go any further. You know, the ones on the among the thorns and thistles, you know, it kind of chokes them out. You know, it doesn't bring forth fruit. They can still sit in the message church. But the things of the world have so overwhelmed them that they're not bringing forth fruit. They're not surrendered completely. But when it falls down into good ground, that's down in the soul. That's where the good ground is, if it's there. He said, the light up here will walk in fellowship. Everything else. But when the real power of God comes in, it can't come back to the dead seed. It'll reflect off in a denomination. Let me read that again. The light up here in the mind, here we'll walk and fellowship and everything else. And there are brothers and sisters, and we love them, and they love us, and we have a wonderful fellowship. But when the real power of God comes in, it can't come back to this dead seed. Now, up here, those false anointed ones, and they're walking in the light, and it's right up here, and they can perform all kinds of signs and wonders. You say, well, that's the power of God. It is. But you can do that and still be wrong. But when the real power of God comes, it comes down and quickens the seed. And if that seed isn't in there to quicken, then they just go off into denominational thinking. And in fact, Brother Brand said, back to this dead seed. Dead Sea. My. I hope that within your life you see maturity, the word bringing forth maturity that you didn't see a year ago, that you didn't see 5 years, that you didn't see last month. I hope you see this maturity coming more and more, and the more you see it, the more you that belief anchors, and more you're convinced, yeah, this is who I am. I am the bride of Christ. This is what I was born for. I pray that you're seeing that happen. Because, friends, what's going to happen is those who are only walking in the light of their mind, take that which you have. Going to happen. And the bride is going in the rapture. And everyone else is going to be left here for whatever happens. One more quote. He said, remember, I have to watch. Now this is Brother Branham, his own warning to himself. He says, I have to watch. When I see them people just completely, arrogantly walking away. What's he saying? He said, it affects me. It affects my emotions. arrogantly walking away. I think I've tried to express it this morning. It's gross darkness upon them. They can't help it. Oh. See what happens when we, let's say I'm preaching, you know, Brother Gene sits there, and Brother Gene gets up and said, Phil, I don't believe a thing you're saying. You know, you're just full. You're just wrong. I believe my own way. And you walk away. Now, I could get my feelings hurt and blast Brother Gene. Well, you're going to hell, boy. With that attitude. I wouldn't say that, but with that kind of attitude. Because it hurts my feelings. But he said, they can't help it. It's gross darkness upon them. There's nothing inside to believe with. So how in the world do you kick them in the teeth? Do you push them down? It's just grace, friends. It's grace to you. I forgive them, see, for not listening. They arrogantly walk away, and Brother Branham said, I have to watch myself. Don't get a bad attitude. I forgive them. They can't help it. They were never called to this. They were never chosen. They were called. They were never chosen for it. I forgive them for not listening. And seeing the things that God has done, still they don't do it. Seeing the things God has done, still they don't do it. They still won't believe. There's nothing to believe with. They don't have ears to hear. They don't have eyes to see. They don't have a heart to believe with. I still pray, God, forgive them. And I mean it from my heart. I don't say it just because my master said it, but I want to feel it in my heart first that I really do. When I see someone, like, let's say I'm working and someone says something, you know, hurt my feelings or humiliates me or tries to, you know, just reject or be mean to me, brother and sister, I have to be able to forgive them from my heart. Well, I'm a Christian. I had to forgive them. That ain't it, friends. That's just coming from up here. But when it's not from my heart, I say, well, look what they've done. Do you feel? I know. They can't help. They're influenced by the devil, whatever. You know, they give into that. If I have this life and they don't, and I'm going to hold against them, I don't have enough light down here. I don't have enough love down here. I have to forgive them from my heart. He said, not just because my master said it, not just because Jesus did, but I have to know it from my heart, feeling in my heart first that I really do. He said, I don't isolate myself from people. I don't want to do that. Why would he say, I don't isolate myself? Because he wanted to. Remember, he got that complex. He said, I'm going to isolate from my people. I'm going to go up into the North Woods. I'm going to live up there. And when God gives me a message, I come out here, and I'll say it, and I'll go back up, and I want to isolate myself from the people. But here he says, I don't isolate myself from people. I don't want to do that. But he did want to do that. So what's he saying? Up here in his mind. In his emotional realm, he wanted to isolate because he said they should have believed it. And I built a complex because they didn't. They turned and walked away. He said, but what's he saying? From my heart, he said, I don't want to do that. Because is why he said, because I have a message for them, salvation. I have a message for them, salvation. Brother and sister, you, each one of you, have a message for those people out there at salvation. You can be the mercy seat where they find Christ. But not if you isolate yourself from them. I have to go out among them. I go out with the Trinitarians, Methodists, Baptists, Lutheran, Pentecostals, Seventh-day Adventists, and everything else. Because I'm seeking to save that which was lost, if I can, to bring it in, to show them light. Your mind, a lot of times, we don't want to do that. We don't want to go and talk to this person or go out and live among them because that light, that darkness hates the light. A lot of times you're rejected and you're ridiculed and persecuted and everything else that goes with it. But something aside takes you out there anyways. I was talking to some brothers up there in Indiana this week, and one of them has a daughter. I don't remember exactly how he said it, but he has a high school daughter, and she's a believer, and she says, this is horrible. She says she goes to different camps and different things, you know, church camps and around youth camps. She says, the people at my school,
have more respect for me and what I stand for than those people that I go to camp with. They treat me better. They have respect. They see there's something different about me. They see something wrong. She said, I go to church camps. I go to youth camps or any kind of camp, you know. And she said, the way they look at me, you can see them. They're checking my skirts long enough, you know, what I'm wearing and the things they'll say and if they'll fellowship with you or not. Don't tell me that twin isn't sitting in message pews and preaching from message pulpits. Absolutely. There's that antichrist spirit right there, judging, trying to make you feel a certain way. You have to come and you have to see it my way. You have to believe it the way I believe it, or you're not believing at all. And you know where the problem is? It's not those young girls who are standing there judging. The problem is right here behind the pulpits. We were having a devotion there, and I just had to get blunt with the young men. I said, you know why you believe in these things you're believing? Because you've listened to lying preachers. And some of them, I didn't say this, but some of them are your pastors. I didn't go that far, but it's true. Because they're being preached a different Jesus Christ than the one that's illustrated in the Bible. They're preaching a different Jesus Christ than was expressed through Brother Branham. And they're preaching a different Jesus Christ than what's being expressed through you this morning. This is where I want to say, but when I see that expression of Christ to you, and it connects with the Christ in me, and I say, you're my brother, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my brother, because there's that connection, I say, yeah, that person's born again. Because it's not what you're saying, it's not the works, it's not what's going on in your mind, but it's coming from the heart, and there's a connection in our spirit. That's amazing. That's amazing. This is where we're at, friend. We are. We see all these scriptures. You recognize so much of the Bible was written just for this day. I mean, they use it other times, but it's being completely fulfilled today. This is the day. So much in Revelation. The book of Revelation was written for this day. Down through the church ages, they preached out. They didn't know what they were talking about because it hadn't been revealed. I mean, they knew what they were talking about, but not to the extent we do. It's only been fully revealed to the extent now, and there's still things in there we don't understand because it still hasn't come to pass yet. But this is the day that this word is being fulfilled, and you and I have been privileged to be part of it, not just to watch it, but to be absolutely the expression, the manifestation of the things that God said. And when you see that, the more you see that, the more you walk in that light, the more the fear just dissipates. The dismay goes away. And Satan comes into your mind and tries to build up that fear because fear is the biggest thing he has. The best weapon he has against you is fear because fear and faith cannot operate at the same time. You have one or the other. And faith comes in and blows that fear away. Now you say, well, I have faith, but I still got fear in my mind. I'm not talking. Look, the mind is always going to experience some kind of fear or whatever, right? That's what Satan does. He comes in your mind and tries to bring. He brings the thoughts. And you don't have to be afraid if you just kick that thought out. But when you accept that thought, then he has a place to use. And now I'm trying to quit. Some of that fear has been put into your mind a long time ago. It's got deep roots. And Satan can come right into that place whenever he wants and stir that up. And this is where you have to be getting rid of that. This is where the word comes in and rooting that out and rooting that out. And say, well, God, why don't he just root it out? He is. In his own time. In his own time, he's taking care of that. And so are you willing to walk in faith as he's doing this slow, slow work? Because that's how you come to maturity. If he just took it out right now, where's the maturity? You all right? Let's stand. God bless you. God bless you. It's good to preach to you this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for bringing this word the way you did. How you brought it to me this morning, Lord, and how you spoke it, Lord. I believe it was received into honest hearts. Hearts with light. Father, if there's one in here that the heart has not become light, they're still in darkness, would you please let the word come and drive back all the darkness, all the thoughts, all the unbelief, and strike the seed inside of them and bring it forth. Won't you come this morning, Lord Jesus, and take this word and plant it there into good ground and let it come forth. If we don't see the effect right now, yet it's in good ground, and we'll keep it watered. We'll keep by faith, and Lord, by your Spirit coming and bringing it and protecting that and watching over it so it brings forth the very nature of Christ that we all desire to see. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would have your perfect will in all of our lives, Lord. Save each one that's here, Lord. We're just a small group. Surely that's not too much to ask. You can save each one, Father. Bring us into the rapture. Get us ready, Father. Let this little church thrive, this little church that's gone through so much over the years. Cause it to be such a lighthouse. Cause it to be such a thriving place that Satan counts it as one of his worst enemies because he can't get to us. Lord Jesus, be a merciful God. Be gracious. Be loving. Strengthen us, Lord. Let our faith be stronger and stronger as we go forward. And when Satan brings the fear, the signs of the time around us to bring fear and anxiety and nervousness, we take you at your word and say, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We claim that to be true, Lord. We walk in that, Lord Jesus, as we go forward. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for all you are doing in our midst. I ask this all in your name. Amen.